Continues to be in our midst. And Lord, as we sing, Lord, let it be more than just a song that we sing this morning. Father, our hearts want to engage. Father, we want to get to that place, Lord, where we connect with you, Lord, through our worship, through every prayer that we pray this morning, through our engagement in your word, Lord, our whole being. We thank you, Lord, right now, Lord Jesus. We silence every other thought, any other thing, Lord, that is distracting us, Lord. We take that captive in Jesus' name. I say, be silent in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for a pure Father, for a pure connection this morning, Father. Any disturbance in Jesus' name, we silence that now, right now. We thank you for your word that will enter into our hearts, Father, without any disturbance, Lord. In Jesus' name.
I'm not going to preach, but I do feel that we need to lay a foundation before we preach here, before we pray. And I want us to go to Genesis 18 this morning. Genesis 18 from verse 16. We'll have the scripture up here at the back as well, but you can actually read the scripture and just meditate upon it. By the way, I'm going to actually jump between other scriptures as well, so I'm using a little bit more scripture than I do usually use normally, but if you want to take note of that and meditate upon that later this day or tomorrow, it would be great. Just a couple of scriptures about prayer and intercession and where I sense what God is saying to us. So let's read from verse 16 in Genesis 18. And it says, "Then the men got up from their meal and looked out toward Sodom. As they left, Abram went with them to send them on their way." And I'll give you now background about what happened here. There's two things that took place in this whole chapter, but we'll pick it up from that verse. "Should I hide my plan from Abram?" the Lord asked. "For Abram will certainly become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abram all that I have promised." So the Lord told Abram, "I have heard a great outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah because their sins is so flagrant. I am going down to see if their actions are as wicked as I have heard. If not, I want to know." The other men turned and headed toward Sodom, but the Lord remained with Abram. Abram approached him and said, "Will you sweep away both the righteous and the wicked? Suppose you find 50 righteous people living there in the city, will you still sweep it away and not spare it for their sakes? Surely you wouldn't do such a thing, destroying the righteous along with the wicked. Why would you be treating the righteous and the wicked exactly the same? Surely you wouldn't do that. Should not the judge of all the earth do that, do what is right?" And the Lord replied, "If I find 50 righteous people in Sodom, I will spare the entire city for their sake." Huh? Interesting. Not the 50, he will spend the entire city for their sake. Then Abram spoke, "Since I have begun, let me speak further to my Lord, even though I am but dust and ashes. Suppose there are only 45 righteous people rather than 50. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And the Lord said, "I will not destroy it. If I find 45 righteous people there." Then Abram pressed this request further, "Suppose there are only 40. And the Lord replied, "I will not destroy it for the sake of 40. Please don't be angry, Lord, my Lord," Abram pleaded. "Let me speak. Supposedly only 30 righteous people are found." And the Lord replied, "I will not destroy it if I find 30. Then Abram said, "Since I have dared to speak to the Lord, let me continue. Suppose there are only 20. And the Lord replied, "Then I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. Finally, Abram said, "Lord, please don't be angry with me if I speak one more time. Suppose only 10 are found there." And the Lord replied, "Then I will not destroy it for the sake of the 10. When the Lord had finished his conversation with Abram, he went on his way, and Abram returned to his tent. The story is probably one of the earliest stories that we find in Scripture about intercession and about standing in the gap and standing at that place. And there's so much truth, there's so much in this story that we can possibly get from this. And I encourage you just to go and sit and spend time with the Lord just around this, because it reflects so much about our hearts and about one man that was willing to stand and negotiate with God. And by the way, Abram, as a father and as a Jew, you know, it's biblically correct to negotiate. Okay, so you can say amen. That's fine. Don't have to worry. You can negotiate with God. But actually, two things that's so important that's taking place within this one chapter or in this that God visits Abram. The three men that's coming there, the two angels and God. And they're visiting God in the middle of the day. If you read the chapter, you read the previous part of that it's hot, in the hottest part of the day in our country, probably down there at Noordhoek, it would be the hottest place, 55 degrees, sitting there in the middle of nothing. There's no river there, maybe. I don't know what the situation was. And then God visits them, And then there's a whole theme about the hospitality, how Abram would approach them and he would invite them. And that's if you ever studied the whole thing about hospitality and how God would, actually that was a major thing in the Old Testament of inviting strangers into your place, being hospitable and all of that. But anyway, he invites them, they share a meal together, and they had a proper braai, by the way. They didn't just braai chops, they braai a calf, you know, young calf. That's what the Bible said. So three of them. Can you imagine now? Three and Abram and Sarah. I don't know how much Sarah. Maybe the servants had to help them eating this calf. But anyway. And they baked a nice fresh bread and they spent time and then they got to the serious conversation. You know, sometimes you drink coffee with somebody. You got the agenda. You know, I don't know how we talk about it. And then, you know, when are we going to get to the stuff that we want to talk? I think God knew, okay, now we're going to go over to the serious stuff. And then God says to Abram, hey, listen, guys. Got a promise here for you. You're going to have Isaac. I promise. And then Sarah does something wicked in a way. She laughs at God. Imagine that. God gives you a promise and you laugh in his face. Ha! God, yay! Ha! Me! I mean, and God had the last laugh because he calls him Isaac, which means laughter. I've been told by theologians, you read that actually to say and to pronounce his name, Isaac, you had to actually kind of laugh. So imagine that every time for the rest of their life. Sarah was reminded of what she's done there. Ha ha, come here. Ha ha, Sarah, Isaac, ha ha, come here. Every time. You laughed at me. Anyway, this is with all within the same story. But now, listen to this. This happened at the same time. The other two men left, and then God is walking with, or the angel is walking here in the form of that, with Abram up to a certain point, and then God thinks, and there's something, there's a glimpse into the heart of God when he says these words, shall I hide from Abram what I'm about to do? You know, when I read that the first time, it's like, wow. This is serious stuff. This is God's heart that's trying to, he's opening up his heart here for us just to say, hey, you know what, Abram, you're so special. I can't keep the secret. I don't know about you. I know with husband and wife, that's supposed to be that close. But let's take it outside marriage for a moment. You have that special friend. You have that special relationship that you sometimes just so treasure. That you know what, I can't keep it away from him. It's just so special to me. And this is what I'm carrying. It's just so special. I need to share this. And God, listen to me. God shares selectively. God speaks to everyone, but he shares selectively. Not everybody wants to hear his voice. God will speak to all of us here in this place, but he will share selectively his heart. Why didn't he do that in the bigger audience? Because Sarah was laughing at the promises of God. He could have told them, oh, by the way, I've got other news, Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't share that news because of the response of Sarah, I believe. If we're going to position ourselves to hear from God, I want to say more, or in a different way, then we'll have to treasure his word. Then we'll have to treasure every single word that he's giving us and say, God, this is special. Wow. And on Friday night, we walked into this place. You know what? And in this last week, we've been praying, you know, more than what we normally pray for. And don't worry, we won't take you in another week like that if that was a lot for you. But I just believe it was building up. And I walked into that place at 11 o'clock at a Friday night. And as I stepped into this place, I sensed God's presence. And now I wanted to start crying. And there's people standing in the front. And I said, oh, we're walking out now because I don't want to become emotional right now. And I'm just trying to get myself together. We haven't even prayed. And then I'm just getting myself together. And I came and I sat here at the front with the rest of the group as we were rotating. And by the way, thank you to everybody that were just giving some of your time for that hour slot that we were doing. And we sat there, and then suddenly the presence of God just comes upon me. And every person probably had a different experience in the presence of God. I'm not saying yours should be looking like mine. But I sat there, and next thing, the presence of God is just there. And I prayed about 3-4 sentences, but all it was is God is just saying, I want you to have my heart. I want you just to sit here. I just want to impart my heart. I just want you to feel what it feels when I feel when I look at the lost. I just want you to experience my heart for the lost. So I lied down there I just felt, Lord, I'm not worthy. I just have to lie down in your presence now. I'm just going to keep quiet. I'm just going to allow you just to do that, almost pouring in. Because right now, and I thought I would be. I was there for 10 minutes. I checked my watch later, and it's 45 minutes later. I'm still there in his presence. It felt like 10 minutes in his presence. Because it's just too much. God spoke to Abram, and he came to Abram. Abram, there's something I want to tell you. I can't hide that from you. And that should be this morning an invitation for all of us to come to that place of God. I want to know more. You know what? When the sin of the world is rising up, and it's coming up to a place that there's a place, as the Bible says here, that the sin cries out, that it's reached its limits. Leviticus 18:25. Let's look at that scripture quickly. I just want to give you some background for what's happening here. It says this, and if you ever want to understand the context of this, look at what's happening in the world right now, what happened in the past, the whole thing in Indonesia back then with the whole tsunami and the amount of people, that thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that died there. That was the sex hub of the world. And here's the thing, sin would come and it would raise and it would rise up and it's becoming so unrighteous and so up to a certain point that God says, I have to do something about this. Not just God, but that the earth actually vomits it off. Look at this. For the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. And the same thing happened with the second sin that was committed in the Bible. Look at that scripture there in Genesis. Where's that scripture now? We got it up, the next one. Can we jump? Genesis 4 verse 10. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother. Now this is the Lord speaking here to Cain. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And then I think in Revelation 6 verse 10 is also there. And they cried out with a loud voice. This is the martyrs during the time of persecution at the end. How long, O Lord, Holy One, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood and those who dwell on the earth. Can you see that sin reaches such an, I want to say, capacity when certain things is gonna give in and God needs to interfere? We don't have to look far away to find that. We can look and we can find it in our country next to us. We can see murder upon murder upon murder upon murder, and it's in any given stage, it's just reached its limit. And our limits, we can say, oh, well, it's not happening in our country. There are a lot of other stuff happening around us. And what we do not know is when is it reaching its limits. We don't know the ends of God's grace this morning. But God comes through his grace and he's sharing actually that part of his heart. Because actually, I believe God deep down hoped, Abram, just stop me. Abram, just stop me. I need to do the earth. There's an appropriate response towards what's been happening. And I just want one man just to talk to me, just to negotiate in a way with me. Because here's the thing, God wouldn't share his secrets, the secrets of his heart with everyone. If we treasure his word, if we love that being in his presence, I say, God, this is where I want to be. This word, this what you've given me is so precious. On Friday night, we were here, and on the next thing I hear God, as we were here praying, God says, it's a new day. It's a new day. And I want to say this to many of you here this morning. When I sensed that, I knew that wasn't just for us as a church, but there was for some individuals, God is saying that the same thing. It's a new day. It's a new day. You listen to me. It's a new day. God is doing something new in your life. And it's sometimes important that we just take time out and say, God, what are you saying to me in a new day? There are certain things that's the past. It's a new day, Brenda. It's a new day. God is blessing you, taking you in a new season, but it's a new day. The old is gone. And anyway, I'm getting distracted now. But what happens is, God shares his heart, but he shares it selectively according to those who want to hear, but also at selective places. What I hear in my personal time with God is not always the same that what I hear. Or let me put it the other way, because it sounds confusing. What God chooses to reveal to me in my personal time with God is not always the same as what he chooses to reveal to me when I'm praying together with brothers and sisters. I just believe God has reserved it that way. That when we come together, when we do what we do here this morning, when we take time out to say, God, this is time when we pray and we seek your face, there's a different amount of God's presence and revelation that's reserved for that meeting and that we hear there. That's for the transformation of myself, but also for the bigger group. That's why I always say, you know what, if we miss out and we choose what we want, you will always have a selective menu and you will always only know some parts of it. I want the full part of that. And listen to what is happening next. There's three things. God shares selectively. Maybe just one more, two more scriptures. Amos 3 verse 6 says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Then Jeremiah 33, call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's an invitation this morning for all of us this morning. Call upon me. Listen to me, my brother and my sister. There are certain things that you do not know. And God is waiting for you to call upon him. He's waiting upon you to call upon him so that he can reveal. God will not go out there and say, oh, by the way, can I just share my secrets with you? He's looking for a heart that would treasure his word, that will humble himself, that will take out time and say, God, nothing is more important than our time with you. The other day I'm busy with, and you know what? Every one of us has got admin. I don't know about you, but every worker's got a bit of admin. Whether you like it or not, just get used to it, you know. And I don't like the admin either, you know, but you got to do it. You got to answer some stuff. You got to answer the email which you do not want. You got to explain all of that, you know, in your context. And I had to have a bunch of that. And as I was busy in the middle of the day, I sensed the Holy Spirit. Now, I know you're not all as privileged to be a pastor, to do that any given time, but you've got other responsibilities. But here's the thing. I sense the Lord says to me, just stop that for a moment. I want you to spend time with me. And now the flesh comes on. I know, but God, I need to get this out. You know, you don't understand. This is important. These people ask me, where's this? And they're expecting. And the more I'm arguing, the more I realize now I'm reasoning now with God. This is just drop that. And I've got another sermon at the back here. God, I'm away for a week and then I won't be able to do that. And then I have to prepare already now and all of that. I know I must be disciplined with my time there. And anyway, so if I do that, then I'm not going to be able to prepare that sermon as properly as I plan, by the way. And anyway, so I, by God's grace, I managed just to put down that and just spend some time with God just for that afternoon. Amazing time with him. But at the back of my mind, I knew, man, I still have to figure out the sermon. I still have to get the outline. I still have to pray. And the next morning, or I think it's lunch, the following day, I sit there in front of my computer, and it's bam, it's like a download in my spirit that God gives me that sermon like a, just like that. And it's almost as the Lord says to me, you know what? If you spend time with me, I can give you that just like that. And here's the point. Sometimes we argue, we try and think, okay, God, I have to figure this out. But if we put God first, he'll make that up in a way. And it's almost like God made it up for me in a minute or two, which would have taken me much longer. He gave back to me another way if we just put him first. If we can just put that time aside. And he's asking us, call upon me. Abram negotiates with God. Sin reaches its place. And then he negotiates with God. Listen to this. I think it's Ezekiel 33. He says, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why should you die, O house of Israel? Ezekiel 22 says this. So I sought for a man among them would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. You know why Abram prayed so fervently there? Why did he negotiate with God? Abram had interest in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot. Is it nephew? I don't know the relation yet. His nephew. It's much easier praying for my family. I love him. It's no sacrifice. People say to me, oh, you're no praying and intercession and all these things are sacrifice I make. I tend to differ with you. If prayer and reading the Bible and having fellowship and doing what we're doing becomes a sacrifice, then we need to sit down just for a moment. For me, it's spiritual breath. I don't stand here this morning and think, okay, let me just think I have to take another breath, otherwise I'm going to die. And that was a sacrifice, just taking that breath. Prayer, reading the Bible, spending time with God, fellowship with my brothers and sisters in the middle or now, whenever. Spiritual breath. That's just who we are. That's just not supposed to be a sacrifice. If that has become a sacrifice for the church in the West, seriously, God needs to help us to get us out of that place so that we can say, God, this is just actually a spiritual breath. If I don't do this, I'll die. I cannot stand here this morning as a pastor, as a leader, trying to convince you why you should be in church, why you should be involved, why you should be in discipleship, why you should pray, why you should read your Bible. That's spiritual breath. That's just God breathing into you and say, become alive. And then there's something that's becoming alive in us that want to commune with Him. And Abram, we're at that point that he's negotiating with God, and God says, I'm seeking for one man, just one man, that would just stand in the gap for me. I believe we're still at that place today. God says, I'm just looking for one man that would stand in the gap for that family. I'm just looking for one man that would stand in the gap for that town, for the city, for this nation. How much more can we do if we join forces together? I say, God, we unite our faith this morning. Because God shares selectively. Abram prays faithfully and God responds. Or he prays, intercedes compassionately, and God responds graciously. Because he moves from 50 down to 10, which says to me that God is the God of the many, but God is also the God of the one this morning. That God would stop everything for the sake of that one family. Because here's the thing, Abram intercedes because he's got interest in that city. Which challenged me a little bit here. Because it's so much easier to pray for my family and where they are involved in what I see, which I think or perceive is wrong, where I'm worried about that, when I'm worried about that spiritual significance or the spiritual repercussions of what they're doing. But it's a different thing this morning to pray for somebody that I do not know. Because there's no emotional connection there. And if we say to one another this morning that we are pursuing love, I think it's a different step pursuing love to pray for somebody that you do not know, allowing the Holy Spirit to take you to a place of identification, to a place of experiencing that pain, to experience that pain that that person might have or that family or that whoever it might be. That's another level of growing into the love of God if we're going to allow Him to take us down that journey. That's maybe why I'm so, guys, just get to intercession. It's not because I want to burden you. I believe there's a part of God's heart that He wants to reveal to us that's reserved for those that say, God, there must be more. But guess what? If we ask God for more, He's going to ask you for more. We want the God that we can say, God, give me more, but I don't want to give more. So now the next thing is we say, oh, we use burdens and we say it's laws and nonsense. God will, and I shared this from my own life this morning to tell you that I'm not immune to that. That if I'm saying to God, God, I want more of you, then God's going to say, then I want more of you as well. You take that first step. Draw near to God and God will draw near to you. I'm going and preaching a different message this morning. Sorry. Pray for me. I'm just so excited about where God is taking us. About more. And here's the thing. God responds to Abram's prayer. And we're almost there. Because one man, God saves that, or save a family there, because of one man that was willing to stand up and say, God, I'm willing to stand in the gap. And secondly, because God is good. Not because I'm good, because God is good. Not because I prayed a great prayer, because God is good. Because God is gracious. But because I took some time, yes, God called me to do that and I had to do that, but ultimately it's because God is good. God is gracious. Because God is looking at this nation. God is looking at this city and say, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. Is there just one man that can stand in the gap? Oh, let's just delay it a little bit more. Because maybe just somebody will just get up and say, God, just stop this. Can we just stand in the gap? I was editing on the scripture. And I will close with this. Because we're going to pray. I said, Lord, I know we're praying and we're fasting, but with our men's camp in mind that's lying 1 week from now, I just want a word for our men today. And the Lord led me to the following chapter. I want you to see this. Let's go to that scripture. Now, I remember Abram prayed for Lot and his family. If you can go to the last scripture, Mabasa, this is chapter 19, verse 16. He interceded. God left Abram. And then we see the two angels approaching. They go to Sodom and Gomorrah during the night. The other people come there. They want to do horrific things. You can read that story. The children in this church, I'm not going to go there, but they want to do bad stuff just to tell you how bad they were, the bad place they were. And we're talking about we are at the bad place. I think the world is heading towards Sodom and Gomorrah in terms of that. And long story short is that the angel warns them. He warns Lot. He says, Lot, we're going to destroy this place. And look at this. When Lot still hesitated, you don't hesitate when you don't like the place. I believe Lot liked a little bit. He had a bit of the world still there. He says, why would you hesitate if the God of the universe or his angels and he sends his messengers, listen, you got to get out of here. There's trouble coming. We only hesitate when there's something of us still attached in this world or wherever. The moment that's been cut off, the moment we are dead, we don't hesitate anymore because I don't want that. But when that's attached, who's here? Stephanus, let me use you as an example. I want you just to quickly stand here. Look at this, what's happening. Lot hesitated, and then I suddenly saw the grace of God for the first time. The Bible says the angels seized his hand. Listen to me, men, listen to me. The angel seized his hand and the hands of his wife and the two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city. Sometimes God needs to do this. We hesitate. And I feel this is a word for many of us that's still hesitating. Should I not? Sensing God is saying to us, I'm reaching out my hand to pull you into an encounter with me. You might hesitate, but I want to pull you into that place. And if you can just sit here this morning and say, God, here's my hand. I don't know what to expect, but here I am. I sense also that God is saying to all of us here, if you're going over this weekend, you become that hand to somebody else as well. Sometimes people say, but you push people into this. Okay, well, then I'll push people into that. But at least then, I'll place that relationship for a moment on the altar, if I can put it that way. But hopefully somewhere along the line, you would say, thankfully you pushed me into this, that I met God. Because I see this. Sometimes God knows what's ahead of us. And he literally needs to take us by hand and pull us into that situation and say, you know what? I need to pull you out of that mess. By God's grace, I thank God this morning that I was at that place. And maybe you sit here this morning with the same destiny, that once you were that place, where you're such a mess that you didn't really want to get out of that. You're still hesitating. And God placed his hand there. He extended his hand. And he literally pulled me out of that nonsense, out of mess. I still see that to this day as child of God, that we sometimes hesitate. We still hesitate. Because there's certain parts of us that's just pulling on this side. The world's pulling. And I'm not talking about valid things, but sometimes there are other small stuff that's pulling us back. And we hesitate. God says, no, listen, let me just pull you out of this. Because you're going to lose this battle. You're going to miss out on the blessing. The Lord bless you. John 1, in the beginning the Word already existed. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness can never extinguish it. I want us to, if one person can take responsibility and just to pray before you take communion together, one in the group, and just bless one another. Thank the God for the light that came into our midst. Thank you, Lord. Amen.